Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. This is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200%ers. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more. Then every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community. Listen to Life as a Gringo on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast Climbing in Heels is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 193, episode 2 of The Daily Zeitgeist, production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness and say, off the top, fuck faith-based healthcare plans. Fuck them all. Yeah. It is Tuesday, July 13th, 2021. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Get the Vax if you want to. You can get some peace of mind. Because your friends don't fax, and if they don't fax, then they're no friends of mine. That is courtesy of Rob Cunningham. And I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
Now batting in the home run derby from North Hollywood is Show Gray Smoketani. That just came off of my mind because I saw that fucking dumbass Stephen A. Smith clip just now. That guy's such a fucking joker.
Wait, what did he say?
He was out here questioning. He's like, is it good for baseball to have the number one face? Basically saying, like, Shohei Ohtani uses an interpreter. Is that good for the sport that he doesn't speak English?
Oh.
What? Yeah, like, just some straight xenophobic nonsense. Yeah, so.
Oh, my God. Every,
you know, he stays showing his dumb ass.
Yeah. Well, Miles, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by one of the very kings of culture himself, Emmy-nominated podcast host, a writer, producer, actor, voice artist, and as I mentioned last time, one of my favorite singers. He's such a good singer that Miles said he won't even sing his AKAs when this man is on.
Strategic cowardice.
It's smart. It's smart. Well, he is the brilliant and talented Jaquis Neal!
It's 7 o'clock on the dot. I'm in my drop top looking for Jaquis. Ooh, yeah. I got a real pretty, pretty, pretty girl that's kneeling for me. Boom, 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 boom. I pull up, anticipating good talk. Don't keep you waiting. I got plans to keep my fans in places they never seen. Girl, you know what I mean. What up, niggas?
Wow.
What's up? What's up? I just thought of that off the top of the dome.
There he
you
is.
Know, my vocal quality is, you know,
just
I just
clear a tear from my eyes real
oh
quick.
Oh, my gosh. Let me tell y'all, man. Let me tell y'all what I realized right before I started to record. Is that I gotta take a shit, man. And let me, and like, doing a podcast when you gotta take a shit rushes everything.
Yeah.
But I'm going to hold it for this next hour.
This is
going
to be a 35-minute episode. We're just going to cut it.
Rush through it. He's the whole time like, Yeah, cool, man.
Act two, man. Yeah. What's the news?
Giving me the wrap it up sign since I started talking.
Right. Like, you can find me in these streets.
You can find me in these streets.
Jakees Neal.
Bye.
We're not there yet.
What's new?
What is new? Nothing's new. Thanks for having me, as always, guys. Good to be back with the duo, the dynamic duo.
Yeah, yeah.
Dang. Last time I saw you guys, you were hosting the hosting the pre-show at the Ambi. So
yeah.
Thank you. Wow. See, he clarified the pre-show.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. I'm not gonna give y'all more props than y'all deserve. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, on an accurate. It was a pre-show.
Some of the randomest people saw that shit. Like,
I know.
My dad's agent was like,
"Your dad's
reached out to me." Yeah, he was like, "Hey, man, I saw you on the MV.
Great stuff out there, man.
Great stuff out there. Like, stuff out there."
A basketball coach agent, he probably had something nominated.
Maybe
didn't know you were doing jokes, man. Didn't know you were doing jokes.
That was supposed to be funny, right?
Oh, fuck.
Miles, you are coming to us from a new locale. Is that correct?
Yes. Currently, I'm like Mace, one of my favorite mumble rappers, and I'm spending time in HAWAII.
Woo!
And, you know, shout out to Hawaii Zeit Gang, who's blessed me with recommendations and all kinds of information. And, you know, just trying to keep my head low, not trying to be one of these terrible mainland intruders, but unfortunately, and there's a lot of people coming to Hawaii right now.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a wonderful time. Wonderful.
But you got the hookup. Yeah. You have like a place to stay. You can't say no to that.
Stay. Yeah. No. And plus, in this age of working remotely, you know, Her Majesty and I, as we look forward to our lives, you know, and taking the next phases of, you know, matrimony, possible families and things like that, we're like, we need to be able to do something like this.
Yeah.
Go be somewhere and work remote, because I've never worked. I mean, aside from the lockdown, I've never had the flexibility to work remotely. So, you know, taking advantage of that for a little bit.
Take advantage of it. And you know what, man? Go do all the tourist shit. Go do it all.
What's wild? This shit is this so fucking, like, popping right now. You can't go fucking anywhere.
Packed.
Yeah, it's Tupac Shakur. And if you even want to go to a tour or something like that, like to go see, like, the ranch where they shot Jurassic Park, that shit is booked into mid-August.
Mid-August? All right, word. I'm going in September, so I'm about to start making my reservations now.
I would literally, if you have any idea, any plans, book all your shit now.
Yeah.
I fucked up and I was like, man, I'll be all right. And now I'm out here being like, I guess I'll just eat poke at Foodland again.
Yeah.
And just to cover off on a question that is on everybody's mind, since you mentioned the Mace verse, Miles, can you please stop smoking Lala?
Jack, why try? I'm a podcaster. I'm a die high.
Okay. I just want to make sure.
Miles with the lyrics, y'all. Miles with the lyrics.
All right. Puff Daddy, one of my favorite lyricists of all time.
Yes.
Just a great, one of the greats to ever do it. All right. Jakees, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners a few of the things we're talking about. We're talking about rent relief. We're talking about not Charles Branson, Richard Branson going to space. And it was perfectly timed. The headlines were perfectly timed for the post-apocalyptic movie that we all find ourselves in, because at the same time, America was nearing the high temperature of all time, which, you know, don't say we can't do anything we set our mind to. Death Valley was within a few degrees Fahrenheit. We'll talk about CPAC. We'll talk about the racist football backlash to the Euro Cup loss in England, whether friend zone is the best zone, all of that, plenty more. But first, Jakees, what is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
Ooh, from the search history. All right. I always act surprised, even though I've been on the show many times, and I act surprised. Something from my search history is I was looking up this place called Club Privada. Now, if you don't know what Club Privada is, I know there's some people in the Oregon Zeit Gang who might know what this is, but it's a sex club, right? Now, I didn't think these things existed. I didn't think sex clubs existed. I thought they were just things of fantasy, things that you hear about on television. But I decided to run up the old Google machine and plug it in and log it in and look up Club Privada, and it's very much a thing. And there are sex clubs in almost every city and state. I mean, unless you live in a boring-ass place. But if you live in a place that, like, has a population that's a little bit bigger, there are sex clubs in everywhere. I'm not saying I'm going to go, but I am saying I'm intrigued now. So, yeah. You know.
It's just good information to have.
Yeah, it's good information to have. You know, if you and your significant other decide you want to spice some shit up and you want to go to a club for the certain spice that you're looking for, that is available to you. And if you did not know, now you do, because they are real. They are real. What? I thought it was fake.
What's a sex club, though?
It's a place where you fuck.
Like
it's like a swingers place. So like you go and couples go and they make love. Mm-hmm. You don't say the F word on the daily zeitgeist. They make love. and then you could tap in and stuff. You know, obviously to your comfort, no is yes, everything like that. But then, like, you know, a lot of places do single ladies and couples, no men. Sorry, man. Sorry if you're single, man. But it's just a place where you go to hook up, have sex with your partner and or other people as well.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. It's basically the shit you see in movies that don't seem real, but apparently it is real.
Yeah.
You would think we would know more about it.
That used to just be the Wendy's parking lot for me, but it's right? Good to know about these.
Right? Oh, you hooked up in a Wendy's parking lot before, too?
Oh, yes, yeah, absolutely. Baby. You know what you do is you walk outside with three, what is it, the Frosties?
Uh-huh.
And if you spill three Frosties on your feet outside the Wendy's,
that's
they
the
know
sign.
What's up.
Yep. What? What? What color Frosty? The vanilla or the chocolate?
Vanilla.
Vanilla.
And then if you're down for the swirl, you got both.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm.
And then
All right.
Let them know. Like, I'm open.
See, what I do is I go get, I be like, I go in and like, give me your hottest meat. And so when I bring it back to the car and the windows fog up and somebody knocking me like, it's the meat. It's too hot.
Right.
Which is true. Again, but they think I mean something else, you know? So that's what the Wendy's parking lot is all about.
But it
about.
Always ends with the same thing, which is, sir, this is a Wendy's.
Yes. Yeah. That's exactly what it ends with. And, you know, every time I don't care. I'll be like, you're right.
I saw on TikTok that this clip of this woman who was like, I guess she was saying she was a swinger about how, like, if you're in a supermarket and you have your pineapple upside down in your cart, that's letting people know that you're with it. But
really?
Again, this is like TikTok. I mean, this is what is so funny about TikTok. It's like full of videos like this, being like, this is how this, you know, subculture gets down. And I don't know if that's true. So Swinger Crew, let us know.
It's just like elementary school. That's like some shit that a rumor I would spread in elementary school,
yeah.
You know?
Hey, man, you hear it? You heard turn your pineapple upside down? You down the fuck?
Yeah. Every town has a park where, like, I hear that if you park up there and, like, one of your tail lights is out, you know what that means?
Yeah.
About your tail, they'll light it up.
You gotta light that tail up if it's out.
I grew up with HBO, Flex, Bragg, and they had a show called Real Sex.
Oh, yeah.
Which I would always tune into, you know, after the parents had gone to bed. And I would see sex clubs and I would be disillusioned from any idea that they are what we see in movies. They're usually they usually involve a balding man and with a ponytail.
Yeah. You ain't going. I mean, listen, I'm sure there's beauty is in the eye of the beholder.
Yeah. Totally.
You know what
totally.
I'm saying? Let me go ahead and say these things pre-cancellation. Beauty's in the eye of the beholder. What you love is what you love. You know, the looks don't matter. It's what's on the inside. But, you know, we ain't going. It ain't Red Shoe Diaries in there. It's going to be some motherfuckers you ain't attracted to in there. So, you know, probably going in. You know that?
You might be looking for Red Shoe Diaries. It might be Payless.
You know, might be getting some.
That's right.
You might be getting some Payless Shoe Diaries in there.
Yeah. What is something you think is overrated, Jaquise?
Oh man, this isn't. I don't think this is shocking to hear, but the car buying process is extremely overrated. I just bought another car. I gave my mom my car. She needed a new one. And I was like, all right, mom, I'm going to go in and pay off my car. I give it to you. You can either have it or you can trade it in, do whatever you want with it, give you a little extra dough to buy a new car.
Nice.
Which left me with no car, which, you know, coming from Chicago, I'm like, whatever. But living in L.A., you need a car out here, especially when Ubers are $400 to take a ride. So I bought a new car. The whole process is so fucked up. And right now... Right now, people are, everybody, financing, dealerships, nobody's willing to negotiate because everybody's like, there's a car shortage. We can't get new cars.
Mm.
You know, post-pandemic, we need to make all our money back. I swear to God, there's been an article twice this week or the week I was buying the car that said there are used cars on the lot right now that are more expensive than when they were new on the showroom floor two, three years ago. And I'm like, this is whack, man. This is whack. And if there was ever a time to kill somebody, it's if you making me pay more for a used car than that shit was brand new 3 years ago. Those are grounds for hands, man. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Yeah.
And that's, but you know, that's the thing you got to watch out for. When you work at a lot, the used cars where they make the real money.
Yeah.
Like that's where you get the widest profit margin as a salesperson. So, you know, I get, makes my eyes water as someone who used to sell cars. Be like, man, that's what the users are going for.
Oh, shit, man. You used to sell cars. I should have hit you up for the tips, man.
Nowadays, what I used to do is just because I used to work in radio, I would ask because radio and, you know, car dealerships go hand in hand.
Really?
So there was always somebody who worked at the radio station. I'm like, yeah, I'm trying to get a Mazda. You know, buddy, a Galp and Mazda. They're like, yeah, go in there. And let them know you used to work at Power 106. And I did that. But also the other side of it was like, I just go straight to it and be like, how close can you get me to the invoice price of this car? Because the invoice is what y'all are paying for it. And that's how I know how much you're going to be making off it in terms of a sale. I'm not, please don't treat me like a mark. Please treat me like somebody who needs a car.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I went in there, you know, saying what's the out the door price? That was my, they know I'm here meaning business.
Right.
It didn't work, but they knew I'm in business, though. They knew I'm in business. So, yeah.
What's the OTDP on that?
Yeah, what's the OTDP on
just make a what?
The what? What you talking about,
price, man? Out the door
you just,
price.
You just Googled that, didn't you? You just Googled
that. We don't say that around here. Okay, all right, cool, man. Let's let me write a number down for you, and then you tell me what you think.
Actually,
about
you
this.
Wait I'm here, like, and I'll go talk to your manager. How about that?
Yeah. Are you going to talk to your manager? Oh, I'll come with you, bro. I need to walk, man.
I'm going to meet you.
I want to
meet
him.
Cool person.
It's ridiculous.
What's something you think is underrated?
All right, here it is, everybody. My social media is underrated.
There it is.
Here's the thing. Most people know when we are in this industry, sometimes social media is our tool as well. I don't like Instagram. I don't love Twitter, but we use it, right? And I'll be giving the jokes. You know, ever since I did the shoot with MTV, they requested, like, nigga, can you start using Instagram? So I've been using my Instagram more, too. So, listen, I'm using more. So here's what I'm saying. I've tried to tempt the Zeit gang with some nude pics. You know, release the flesh if I get to 10K. It didn't work. Nobody want to see the meat. I get it. If you're not interested in seeing the cheeks, I got another proposition for you. So... before the pandemic, I was in the process of starting my own Patreon. And then the pandemic happened and like the Patreon I was doing, which required people to come over to the crib, I stopped and I didn't want to do all the Zoom shit. And now I'm too busy to take it back up. But I have like 5 episodes of unreleased, very fun. Some of them are improv. I got a couple watch-alongs that if we get to 10,000 on Twitter and get close to it on Instagram, I will release them for free for all of you to listen to. My favorite episode I did a watch along of Police Academy with the homie Jamie Loftus. It's the first time we've ever done a podcast together. And it's just sitting in the ether. Nobody's heard it. Nobody's heard the Jamie Jackie's hookup on, well, not hookup, but the connection on the podcast airwaves, the podcast hookups. So if y'all want this, go ahead, hit the follow. I know y'all love Loftus. I know we all love Loftus. Hit the follow button because the Instagram and the Twitter is underrated. So we need to get it overrated. So when I come back next time, I tell all y'all to stop following me because I'm tired of y'all niggas.
Mm.
That's what I want. That's what we're talking about.
And for the people who do want to who are interested in the nudes, what about them?
Oh yeah, yeah. You get me to 10,001, and then I'll release the nudes.
10,000. You're just looking for an excuse, man.
I'm just trying to release these nudes, man. I'm sitting on them.
Got
I'm
these
tired
nudes
of looking
burning
at them myself.
A hole in my pocket.
They burning a hole, man. I need to get these out into the world.
Is that Police Academy 1?
It was the first Police Academy that we watched. We did a watch along to it, and we recorded it. We recorded our watch along. It was very fun, very silly.
I think that's the only Police Academy I never saw because it's rated R, and that was an age when I could not watch rated R movies. It was when I was into Police Academy.
There is a moment, I didn't know it was rated R. There is a moment in the watch along that you'll hear with me and Jamie, who also had never seen it. We had never seen it. When titties came on the screen and we both like audibly reacted like, oh, boobs. We didn't know. We didn't know. Yeah. So you want to hear that? You know what to do. You want to hear me and Jamie both react to seeing breasts. It's like you know what to do.
It's like you couldn't have a comedy in the 80s without just some form of nipple display.
It was the most.
It was random. It's like, oh, that guy ran through a locker room. Or like, you know, and they're like, oh, there you go. There's your obligatory pair of naked breasts.
Yeah, it was the most unnecessary breast reveal that I've seen in a long ass time.
Right.
There was no need but just to say, we got to get some boobs in here. And that's exactly what they did. So, yeah.
I guess fun movie. Both Police Academy 1 and 2 are rated R, and those are the two that I've never seen.
Got it. Yeah. Well, Jack?
Look, I know I put myself out there as an Academy head, but I have all those, I support the Police Academy shirts that...
And you scratched off Academy on all of them now?
Yeah. In retrospect, you know, those sent the wrong message, but yeah, I never saw 1 and 2.
Well, hey, now you maybe get a chance, and if you do want to watch it,
there you go.
Watch it with me and Jamie being a commentary to your viewing experience.
Bang, bang.
Boom.
All right, let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Wow, thank God for the limits.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello. From Wonder Media Network, I'm Jenny Kaplan, host of Womanica, a daily podcast that introduces you to the fascinating lives of women history has forgotten. This month, we're bringing you the stories of disappearing acts. There's the 17th century fraudster who convinced men she was a German princess. The 1950s folk singer who literally drove off into the sunset and was never heard from again. The First Nations activist whose kidnapping and murder ignited decades of discourse about Indigenous women's disappearances. and the young daughter of a Russian czar whose legendary escape led to even more intrigue and speculation. These stories make us consider what it means to disappear and why a woman might even want to make herself scarce. Listen to Womanica on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Every family has skeletons in their closet. Mine certainly does. Ones that go back 100 years and reach thousands of miles back to our hometown in Sicily. Ever since I can remember, my relatives told the story of my great-great-grandmother who was killed by the mafia. I'm Joe Piazza, and in my new podcast, I'm taking on a generational vendetta, visiting the scene of the crime, confronting mafia experts, tracking down Italian officials, and even consulting mediums to set the record straight on my great-great-grandmother's mysterious disappearance. And in between the fact-finding missions, I'll be drinking a lot of wine and eating all of the pasta. Come to Italy with me to solve this 100-year-old murder mystery. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back, and let's talk rent relief, because the world is, you know, here and there, opening back up, closing back, opening back up, and Congress, you know, they passed those little COVID recovery bills to help keep people from being evicted, and then I feel like we didn't hear much after that. Like, we didn't hear about people taking advantage of it as much. Because I'm assuming landlords didn't want people to take advantage of it. So where are we with all that?
Yeah, I mean, I encourage everybody to look at the state in which they live, especially for those in the United States. But yeah, there's about $46 billion on the table for rent and utilities aid, and the CDC moratorium on evictions is set to expire at the end of July. But many states have tried, some successfully, others not so, to distribute the money to those hit hardest by the pandemic recession. And, you know, it's not always, you know, like places like Virginia and Texas, they've started pretty strong in terms of distributing these funds. But, you know, big shout out to California in this very narrow respect, because we have probably one of the strongest programs in terms of like distribution and protection of tenants.
Mm-hmm.
And again, for those that qualify, you can have up to 100% of your rent and utilities paid all the way back to April of 2020. But it takes a little bit of research. We'll have a link in the footnotes for California residents to see how to get those resources. But even in terms of landlords who maybe want to evict people from their buildings because a new Whole Foods popped up a couple blocks away and they know they can gouge a new set of tenants or transplants with higher rent rates. Well, not so fast, because even if you are a rental owner, you have to first show that you even applied for these funds before you can even go forward with any kind of eviction procedures. So it's right now, you know, every state, again, they're moving at their own paces. So I just want to say the money is there. And for those who absolutely need to have been hit hardest, please check your local resources to get your hands on these things, because the funds are there.
Right. And even more than check, like, let people know, people know, let your homies know, let people know who's struggling. Like, and also, That's the funny thing, is struggling is not a set in stone thing. You know, struggling to me is, and struggling to somebody else is different. So even if you don't think somebody is struggling, they may be, you know what I'm saying? And my definition of struggling is if you're living paycheck to paycheck and you ain't got no extra money after you pay bills, and if you miss a check, then, you know, then you fucked, then you struggling.
It's Christ time, yeah.
You're struggling and you deserve to get help. And it's so wild. I hate that. I love that we're doing this. California is dope for doing it, and all the states that are doing it are dope for doing it. And I wish it was more well known. I wish it was being promoted more, and I wish more states and people were jumping on this. But it's things like this that just, while it makes me happy, also pisses me off, because it's just like, we could, and this is not hyperbole to say this, literally fix everything. Like, we could. We could literally fix everything and start, and not even start anew, but start at a more level playing field for so many people and, like, build up from there. And the fact that we keep so many people in holes And then shit like a fucking global pandemic happens. And there's an opportunity to get out of the hole, but still not everybody knows. It's so ridiculous and it's so upsetting. Yeah.
And even when you look at the amount of life that was lost, the amount of jobs that were lost, wages that were lost, we're still finding ourselves like in the same place where it's kind of like, okay, how do we solve the problem of doing things the old way, which is like giving rather than being like, let's just forgive all of this and let's figure out a way to, you know, subsidize like all of the rent that was out there without people having to jump through hoops or, you know, create some semblance of like guaranteed income. Like looking at just how disruptive this was and how fragile the system is, that the fact that we're just, again, everything has been going back to normal. We're seeing, you know, elements of that all around. But yeah, again, please check your local states and municipalities because, you know, Congress has been there, you know, they're trying to figure out if they can pass more bills or whatever they can do to get these funds out quicker. But it truly is at this point, it's important for everybody to do the research. Yeah. And let everybody know, just let them that there are these funds out there.
So the renters can apply directly for this as well as the landlords. It's not a thing where like you have to count on your landlord going and getting the money from the government.
Well, you could, but the thing is, if you're the first, before a renter can even ask or before a renter could even begin to evict someone, they have to apply.
Right.
And this is everywhere or just California?
This is in California specifically. I think other states may have similar, you know, every state is sort of set up slightly differently, but at least for California specifically, you know, they're prioritizing people who are at immediate risk of eviction first. You know, again, please check it out because every county has different programs that are hopefully, you know, trying to keep people in their places.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That Whole Foods hypothetical that you provided just struck me as way too plausible to trust a landlord not to evict somebody if they have the chance to, just because if they,
right.
Just like landlord and like capitalist mentality, like, I feel like they're going to be like, well, if that person couldn't pay rent when this happened, then that makes them like less attractive to me as like a landlord. So I'm going to try and get them out one way or another. So,
right.
Yeah. And for the, I mean, you know, it's so funny because when we think of not being able to pay rent, obviously the immediate thought is losing your place. And then we kind of, and I don't say this is an extreme, like this is, you know, extreme, like a bad thing, but we jump to the extreme of homelessness after that, right?
Mm-hmm.
But that's not, that wouldn't be the case for a lot of people. Some people would be able to maybe go live with a friend or go live with family or maybe go to a cheaper option, who knows? But what we don't think about is how defaulting on rent and getting evicted fucks your credit up. Like, that's something we don't think about, and which is also another way to be fucked up in this system where you're just a number, right?
Yeah.
So it's not just like lose your rent, not be able to pay rent and lose your house, which is obviously the worst thing that can happen. There are people who are out there struggling to pay rent and at risk of, you know, getting evicted and that going on their credit reports and things like that, which fucks you up in a whole different set of ways, which could also lead to homelessness and things like that, right? So there's so much in between that this could help so many people not go deeper into a hole of poverty and unworthiness in the eyes of our capitalist system that is so...
It's just unfortunate, too. Like, we have it set up, though, where it's not just the aid comes to you automatically.
Right.
It's like, hey, if you know and you're aware and know about this, here are the things that can help you.
Right.
And it's a shame that we aren't more proactive to just say, we already know we're putting pause. Like, and we said this from the beginning of the lockdowns. Like, we know we're putting everything on pause economically. So therefore, as the government who's mandating this, we will also talk to the people that are collecting your bills to let them know, hold the fuck up. We're putting everything on pause. You can deal with us to figure out how this works because our first priority is to make sure the people of this country are safe. But hey, maybe I'm living in a utopia.
I mean, maybe you in Hawaii. Happens.
Or maybe
I'm living in space with Bezos.
Or every other country, basically. Most other countries where... You don't have to like earn your tax return. They just like send it to you. If you paid too much in taxes, you don't have to like file a bunch of confusing paperwork. And same with this. It's like, why give people all these hoops and difficulties to endure in order to like...
Because more change will fall out your pocket if you're mm-hmm. jumping through all the hoops.
Mm. Yeah. All right. Is it time for a break?
Not yet.
Damn.
not quite.
Break it.
Not yet. Okay. If you say so, Jack.
I think it is.
I mean, we could take another break if you want to run.
I'm joking.
I'm joking. Hey, man, you're sweating.
I am like sweating.
You're
bro.
Having
I
trouble controlling the volume of your voice. All right, real quick before you blast off, let's go to space real quick. So Richard Branson went to space. First of all, I just want to say the headline on Drudge Report, a right-wing media outlet, but it's like the single page. It's just a single page with a bunch of links, and it still competes with like New York Times for page views. Like this is the most popular news single page in America. So I always like to check it. And on Sunday, their headline was Richard Branson blast off with the big headline. And then above that, Death Valley hits 130 degrees Fahrenheit within 4 degrees of world record! Palm Springs, highest ever temps for month. Record temperatures strain power supply. USA, hottest June. Reservoirs drying up. In addition to this being just like a boring pissing contest between rich guys, apparently Bezos is not impressed with Branson's. Branson didn't break the carbon barrier, which is the internationally recognized barrier for space. And
oh shit,
Bezos is like that. He didn't really go to space. And I mean, they didn't do a good job convincing me either with the video. They didn't even like put on astronaut suits. They were just like in sunglasses floating around. But
it's commercial, baby. You know what I mean? Yeah, just for the shits and giggles.
But yeah, I just keep picturing Bezos and Branson like saying "Wee!" as they fly into space and contributing nothing to the mission, and the actual astronauts having to like stop their complicated work to like look over and be like, "Yeah, wow, you're really doing it, sir. This is great, great work."
Yeah. Yeah, just over and over, Bezos like, "This is so fucking sick right now. This is so sick.
Thank you, Mr. Bezos. I'm checking the telemetry right now. So fucking sick. I can't believe it."
That was approximately how eloquent Branson was. He was like, "I've done some ridiculous stuff, but dude, that was ridiculous. That was like that's one small step for man was, dude, redonk."
Well, he was like, "For all the dreamers out there," he's like, "I'm a grown man in a spaceship. Believe your dreams." I'm like, "You're in a plane that went up that didn't even bust the carbon barrier, fool."
Yeah.
Just relax and do something with your money to help the earth that you left that is on fire as we speak.
But I feel like a movie wouldn't put those headlines right next to each other during the like headline reel when a movie's like trying to montage past an apocalypse to get to the post-apocalypse. Like having them on the same headline is a lot. Like that's very on the nose.
Yeah. The shit that rich white people do is astounding to me. and it's mostly because like let me ask you something, Miles and Jack. Like, could you imagine Jay-Z going to space?
I could.
You could? Kinda. I can't imagine that nigga going to space.
I mean, he signed a deal with the NFL.
But going to space? Nah, brother. Jay-Z grew up poor. No, in general. Jay-Z grew up poor. Jay-Z ain't about to go nowhere that's going to kill him like that easily and lose his damn money, right?
I mean, after seeing him on a Wave Runner with his vacation hair, I'm like, I think I've seen it all with Jay. But yes, with this, what you're putting down right now, yes, I do. I understand the point you're making for sure.
Yeah, like, it's just, listen, we could talk about richness all we want, capitalism, billionaires, blah, blah, blah. But somebody get Jackie's $1 billion. First of all, I'll help some people.
Right.
I'm still gonna keep a lot of my money, but I'll help a lot of people. You know what I'm saying? I tell you what I'm not doing. I'm not going to fucking space. I'm not doing shit that's gonna be close to killing my ass. One thing can go wrong. The most I'm doing is getting on a plane. That's the most that's the most I'm doing. I'm not jumping out of a plane. I'm not going beyond the atmosphere. I just don't understand like what makes you want to say, "Well, what have I done? I've made $400 billion. oh, fuck, let's go to space. Like, I don't understand it. It's so wild to me. And it's that just, we just let them.
There's just like a fork in the road, I think, for really wealthy people where it's like, okay, like I've bought everything that can be owned. And then you're sort of like, okay. And then you get to this fork in the road, which is like, maybe help people like in a significant way. Yeah. Or the other side of the road goes, build spaceship.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, build spaceship.
I'm also mad they're going to space because I'm tired of like Twitter memes and shit about like, it's just, I'm so tired of people. Oh, well, they're fucking up the planet, so they're trying to leave it. Like, okay. Like, it all spawns just boring takes.
It's like all boring. So on the nose, it's boring. But
it's so boring.
They're doing, like, you don't need a meme because the meme, like, all the writing is there in this.
It is. Yeah.
But yeah, that's a really good point about just like that. Something about the confluence of like personality defects that makes you become a billionaire.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to space. It's wanting to like feel proud of that. There's like some bad person energy. Like I'm reading this book, The Power Broker, about Robert Moses and the guy who like designed a lot of New York City and was like a racist piece of shit. And like early on, he's like this super idealistic guy. And he's publishing a paper that he worked on with like 20 people who adored him, who he was like really good leader to. And then when it comes to like taking credit for the report, he just like takes all their names off of the report. Like he's just, there's just like these certain character defects that make you really successful in America. And they also happen to make you like a very shitty person. And I feel like going, really wanting to go to space and like have people recognize you as guy in space is one of them. Like even with Trump, Miles, you were pointing out like even Trump like wanted to get involved as like a wannabe billionaire.
Absolutely. He's even, when Trump took credit for them going to space. He said, I'd rather see Richard in the plane today than me in the spaceship. Richard loves it. And Bezos loves it. And a lot of rich guys love space, okay? You will explain that someday, but they do love space. That's a real quote he said out his mouth. And then he goes on to say, they love sending rocket ships up, and I made it possible for them to do this. I actually said to my people, let the private sector do it. These guys want to come in with billions of dollars. Let's lease them facilities because, you know, you need certain facilities to send up rockets. And we have those facilities. We have the greatest facilities now because of what I did. We are leading the pack in space by far.
Jesus.
Okay. Well,
I'm so mad. I'm so mad at Donald Trump. And let me tell you why. Let me tell you why.
Hey, what's going on, Jakees?
You know, I overall think the presidency is bad in general. I know I'm about to upset a bunch of people out here, but I think even if Lord Bernie Sanders got into the White House, that nigga gonna do some bad shit because just the office of the presidency is bad. But some people would be better than others, right? Mm-hmm. I'm so mad that Trump is on the lower spectrum, if not the bottom, of bad presidents, because if he wasn't, this nigga is the funniest motherfucker in the planet that I've ever seen. Like, he is pure comedy, and I can't enjoy his comedy because he's such a terrible fucking person. Like, what you just read is a scripted television show.
Yeah.
It's a scripted television show that we can enjoy because he's serious. And not in a charming way, not in like a fun way. He's serious and like all the crap that spews out of his mouth. But it's fun.
A lot of rich guys love space, okay?
Once he's dead, I feel like Trump movies are going to be like an entire genre because
it's going to, yes.
Like, he is Michael Scott. Like, he's a Michael Scott level, like, comedic character just in reality.
But the unfortunate reality is the stakes are so high that those like translate to real world outcomes that are just deadly.
That can fuck up a whole goddamn nation.
But like the immediate instinct at the front of that quote to be like, look, I don't even want to go to space, like a kid who just lost a race and is like, I didn't even want to win. He's like, well, better them than me. I would rather see Richard in the plane than me in the spaceship.
Richard loves it. Bezos loves it.
Yeah.
but it's like that was like, that's not anybody else's thought except billionaires. Billionaires are the ones who are like looking at him being like, motherfucker. Like, so pissed.
Damn. I'll space money.
God damn it. Space. Also, Trump, quit your lying ass. You know your ass wouldn't go to space, your scary ass.
Hell no.
You know your ass wouldn't go. You wouldn't get near a rocket.
Yeah. No, that's
not at all.
Almost definite. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Let's take a quick break, Jaquise.
Ooh, yes.
We will be right
back. How much
back.
Time we got? 20, 20, 25 minutes?
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Thank God for the limits.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello. From Wonder Media Network, I'm Jenny Kaplan, host of Womanica, a daily podcast that introduces you to the fascinating lives of women history has forgotten. This month, we're bringing you the stories of disappearing acts. There's the 17th century fraudster who convinced men she was a German princess. The 1950s folk singer who literally drove off into the sunset and was never heard from again. The First Nations activist whose kidnapping and murder ignited decades of discourse about Indigenous women's disappearances. And the young daughter of a Russian czar whose legendary escape led to even more intrigue and speculation. These stories make us consider what it means to disappear and why a woman might even want to make herself scarce. Listen to Womanica on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courtney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
And we're back. We were just
that was
talking
too
about
short, how- Jack. That was too short. You didn't give me time, bro.
We were just talking about how much of it is a mental thing. This fucked me up. There's apparently a medication that surgeons and like fighter pilots take, I guess not fighter pilots since they can just piss in their suits or whatever, but surgeons take it, that it basically stops the nerve receptors from signaling to your brain that you have to take a piss for like a certain amount of time. Ooh. So, which would, I would assume that they would just piss themselves, but apparently like that's not how it works. Like,
wait a minute. You thought a surgeon would just piss himself like while giving surgery?
4-hour marathon surgery?
Well, like, if you're like, like, oh, the idea that it's the feeling that makes you have to go to the bathroom and not like a physical capacity of your bladder is, was surprising to me. Like, I thought that like that just meant your bladder was full, but like the fact that we like we're apparently going before we need to because of like some nerve thing that happens, and like it's just a blocking of the sensation that changes it. It really fucked me up.
I just like the, this is like a Tim Robinson sketch where it's surgeons just pissing all over themselves mid procedure, like mid operation.
Yeah. What?
God, hour five.
What? It's like, sterile. It it's sterile. Yeah,
and it's like pee's getting into like the person's chest. Where doing
I can't stop now. I'm right at the heart. I'm right at the heart.
We gotta go. Oh,
we only have seconds before the heart explodes.
All right. Let's talk about CPAC real quick. Is this the, like, so CPAC happens every year, basically?
I feel like it's this, happened like 5 times in the past 12 months.
Doesn't it?
It feels like it. Like, unless they call them all relatively the same fucking thing.
Right.
I feel like we keep hearing about CPACs happening.
Right. Like, is it like Comic-Con where each city can have its own Comic-Con? Or is this like the annual CPAC and the, it just happens to be in Texas this year? I don't know and I don't care. But during CPAC in Texas over the weekend, a lot of people were cheering the idea that they, the crowd, that they themselves were amongst and, you know, constituting, had a low vaccination rate.
Mm-hmm. This is because they had a guy on one of the speaking panels named Alex Berenson, who is like a self-proclaimed, quote, COVID contrarian. Mm-hmm. And this dude is so full of shit with his nonsense that The Atlantic ran a piece about him called The Pandemic's Wrongest Man. And it's, I'm just going to play this clip. He went on Tucker Carlson right around the time when that came out. And just to be like, and Tucker Carlson, like, what a hit piece, just because you're asking questions. And I just want to play like his, how he owns this label of wrongest man, despite his like chest out terrible conspiracy theories. I'm just going to play this really interesting just soundbite.
About it, but they're attacking you because you deviate from the approved script. I just find that chilling. I do.
Well, I'm very fortunate in that I have a lot of people around the world, you know, actually around the world, who email me sort of quietly and say, you should read this study. You should look at what's happening in Hungary, or you should look at, you know, this paper that just came out of France. And so I have people helping me. But yeah, I do think, look, even if I'm wrong about all this, and I'm not wrong about all of this, it's useful to have me. And it would be useful to have other journalists asking hard questions, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Even if I'm wrong.
And I'm not wrong, by the way.
But it's useful to have me.
I have people sending me emails, I will have you know. Like,
yeah.
So he's relying on the fact that enough people agree with him that he's received several emails.
Yeah, this sounds like, you know, cool. I used to get emails too. They were called chain emails from AOL from my aunt in the 90s. They'd be like, don't be careful sitting on a theater seat. It could be a tainted needle to give you some kind of disease. It's like the same energy of, yeah, getting emails. Sure. Okay. Thank you. But yeah, that guy was speaking at this CPAC event. And yes, he had this to say. He got the crowd cheering like the fucking Undertaker came out of a coffin or something.
Oh, not the Undertaker.
Take right here. Yeah.
They were hoping, the government was hoping, that they could sort of sucker 90% of the population into getting vaccinated. And it isn't happening, right? There's a younger people.
What the fuck?
Woo! It's not happening.
Unbelievable how partisan this has become, because meanwhile, in places like Missouri, they're experiencing severe spikes in cases because of the Delta variant, and it's unvaccinated people that are getting the worst of it. Yeah. And this, like, especially like around Springfield, Missouri, the rates are low. Some are as low as 14% in terms of people being vaccinated. And it's just clear how this is happening. And again, Fauci said this like a couple weeks ago. He said that we're starting to look at two Americas. There's parts of the country that are vaccinated and are dealing with, you know, smaller surges, and ones that aren't are just unvaccinated. And it's just turn up city in terms of positivity rates.
Yeah, it's very frustrating. And because like a lot of the people who aren't vaccinated aren't anti-vax. Mm-hmm. That's the funny thing about it. There's anti-vax people, and we all knew that going in. Like, there are going to be people who just aren't going to get the vaccination because they're anti-vax for whatever reason. We can feel however we want to feel about those people, but let's take them out of the equation. A large majority of a certain political group who aren't getting vaccinated are doing it because they're, quote, taking some type of stand against they're owning the left. Mm-hmm. And it is so... I just don't understand. Like, I truly think that we have different fucking brain functions because I like that just doesn't compute in my brain. I don't understand it at all. How you could be like, wait a minute, the liberals want us to get vaccinated? I've never felt like this before, but now all of a sudden I feel like I don't know what they putting in my body. I don't know. I ain't never felt like this before, but I'm scared of all these side effects.
Yeah, well, you know,
like, get the fuck out of here.
In
man.
A way, it's like, how do you blame them, though, too? Because when all you watch, when your entire media is people saying, like, you know what's going to happen? It's this, it's that. We don't know. Plus, if you have an immune system and you're human, then you can protect yourself. You don't need this other stuff. It's just, I think, yeah, it's a combination of so many things.
It's a combination of misinformation. Yeah. And
it's terrible to watch that at the end of the day, like that they're cheering on something that is actually, you know, potentially going to put them at severe risk. But I don't know. I mean, it feels like it's just a natural extension of how sort of, you know, political ideologies are a lot of the times. Like when they say, how can people vote against their own like interests?
Well, yeah, well, they don't know what their interests are. Yeah. And the thing that makes me mad is, you know, Donald Trump's old bitch ass got the vaccine. Tucker Carlson's old bitch ass got the vaccine.
Mm-hmm. I'm just asking
questions. Candace Owens old ashy need ass got the vaccine as well. Like all these people got the vaccine who are telling, nah, don't you do it. It's your body, your choice, blah, blah, blah. And they pretended like all these months they got the fucking vaccine. And that's the part that pisses me off, because all it would take is one of these misinformation floaters to just say, it's okay, do it. And it would open up Pandora's box for so many fucking people who are not getting the shot and who are cheering at CPAC-12 about, you know, not being vaccinated. Like, it's something. Don't get me started.
It's just, and it's not, like, satisfying when people die. It's just sad. It's really, really sad. There's a nurse, a registered nurse, Olivia Guidry, who died from COVID complications over the weekend. She's a really pretty young lady from Lafayette, Louisiana, I believe, who had just like, you know, come out and been asking questions and, you know, following the lead of some of these anti-vaxxers. And she died of COVID. And people are like, you know, trying to shame the people who she retweeted who had the anti-vax takes. But it's just like, it's not, it's just a fucking mess. It's just a mess. It's not.
Yeah.
It's a mess. And the part of it that makes it more of a mess is like, look, let me say this too. Just to show that I have a full brain and I can think, you know, in multifacets. I understand if there are some people out there who legitimately have concerns about what they view as a vaccine that was created very quickly, right? And don't want to put things into their body because they're legitimately scared of what that could mean. And that's, again, low information as far as not being educated properly. Like, my mom works on the education team for vaccines. So, like, you know, these vaccines weren't just created within the past year. They've been working on the coronavirus vaccine for a very long time, you know? So things like they don't know that. I understand there are people out there like that, right? I understand there are people out there who just don't have the information. I also understand there are people out there who are just scared of things like needles, you know, and don't want needles.
I saw that clip.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that later. But here's the thing.
outside of all of those people, like, we just don't have a streamlined way to get information out there, because we make it so easy to put one thing online and millions can run with it. And you just don't know what is true, which is why it all stems back to just the information that's out there. And if you have people in your family, like I do, who are, you know, Black people be scared of vaccines, I get it, who don't want to get vaxxed because they don't, like my aunt is like, I heard it just makes you sicker. And I'm just like, yeah, that's not, where did you hear that? And don't tell me.
I got people in my family. Yeah. It's just, yeah.
You didn't hear it. And don't tell me Cousin Ronnie told you
to do more just to get more shots later.
Yeah, yeah, it's ridiculous. But
and it's like, I already had it, so I'm good. And I'm like, that's not a reason. Also, there are variants. Please, yeah, please. Mm. But yeah, I mean, and I think that's what makes this situation even more uniquely fucked up, is because there are many roads to arrive at a place where you are denying yourself some kind of scientific intervention that could protect you. But yeah, it just seems like at this rate, it's going to continue. I'm not sure how, you know, what it's going to take, unless it's enough people to realize, oh, a lot of my friends that are unvaccinated are getting really sick, and the people who are vaccinated are not. Maybe that's the unfortunate, you know, too late anecdotal evidence people need to see. But
that's not going to happen, because yeah, we had a whole year of that shit and nobody get in. So a lot of those people didn't give a fuck. So,
right.
You know. There's going to be a Olympic team star in swimming. This dude, Michael Andrew. Keep an eye out for him, because he is the favorite in the 200. He's probably going to win gold for America. He qualified for the most events of any swimmer on the U.S. team, or tied for the most. And he is an anti-vaxxer, not an avowed anti-vaxxer. His reasoning is, just because everyone's heading in one direction, why do we have to follow that direction?
Oh, the Kyrie Irving, the Kyrie.
Right. Because,
well, then he should take that advice when he get his dumb ass in the pool. When everybody right. is going one direction, you go ahead and try he to swim the other direction across. and see if you win gold or not, you dumb ass. Like, come on now. Come on now.
But yeah, the U.S. Olympic team has deprived us of, you know, all the exciting people to cheer for. But at least they've given us somebody that we can hope just like sinks to the bottom of the pool like a fucking stone when he jumps in.
He's like, I'm going for deepest, quickest in the 200. What? Okay, Mr. Contrarian. But yeah, I mean, I guess we're seeing it at every level, at every level.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't, I was even talking to some other friends of mine too, and things they're going through with their family. And it's really astonishing how sort of clearly defined that take is, especially with conservatives. Like, it's just like the, you know, that's just part of the culture war. It's one of the battles that they have to do their work on, which is, I will not get vaccinated.
Clearly defined and poorly thought through.
Mm. Yeah.
All right. And finally, there's a new study from the University of Victoria that questions how accurate the media-driven notion is that most people end up together, like, with like a love at first sight or like an immediate attraction type situation. And like the idea that if you start out as friends, like you're friend zoned, and that's not good. They find that most successful couples are couples who have been together for a while, started out as friends.
Yeah. Saying 2/3 of like a study they did of like almost 2,000 people of romantic relationships started out platonically. And then they did this study because about like friends first initiation is what they call it. It's when they looked at other studies about how relationships begin, almost like 3/4 of them were just specifically looking for like the spark of romance between strangers rather than an evolution from friendship into romance. And only 8% of the studies previously centered on romance that develops among friends over time. And they said there was very little variation across gender, level of education, ethnicity, and found that the rate of friends first initiation was even higher among 20-somethings and within the LGBTQIA communities. 85% of such couples began as friendships. Although, look, I'm a little dubious, but at the same time, I think that's only because mass media has informed so much of what I think life is.
Yeah.
That I'm like, come on, man, really friends like that? But if I'm going to be, you know, keep it a buck, like me and Her Majesty, we started off as friends.
Yeah.
And later on, you're like, oh, shit, like this is, I'm like, you get to know somebody. And you're like, yeah. Oh, I think a lot of our shit lines up. rather than like the horny strangers who meet at a party and like it's on from the jump. Right.
It's so funny too, because there's this notion that a lot of people subscribe to, where if we're friends, I don't want to ruin the friendship, or I, you know, don't want to risk our friendship if, you know, a relationship doesn't work out. And listen, I understand that. I'm not downing that at all. If that's how you feel, I think that's legitimate. But it always be the motherfuckers who be on their like 15th relationship. And it's like, man, I can't find nobody out here. Man, all you motherfuckers out here is trash. And it's just like, well, you got somebody who you enjoy spending time with. You talk to and laugh, and they know you. You can be intimate, like, not physically, but, like, emotionally with. And all these things. And I understand you want to keep those friendships, but it just is, I don't understand how we shut ourselves off to the idea that this is the foundation that we should be building for an actual relationship. Yeah. And that more people don't go toward that route. It really surprises me.
That's why I said, like, even me being dubious, like, and I say that more jokingly, but I truly think it's because I've consumed so much media in my lifetime from childhood on that over and over this message is reinforced of like meeting someone somewhere.
Yeah.
And then like, boom, sparks fly that it's, and then this idea of like this friend zone thing that is inescapable is like another weird construct, which isn't like a universal law of human interaction. But like a thing that's, you know, frustrated men come up with.
Yeah.
I think is like really, you know, I think all comes together for me to really take a second and be like, damn, like it's not really often. I don't think I've actually ever just met somebody and then immediately sparks flew. Like it was like, oh, you see him there. You see him there. There's a couple group things. You chat. And again, yes, that it may mean that you're attracted to the person, but it was more just like, okay, there's something attractive about this person rather than like, I will only fuck this person and friendship is off the table. Like, I don't know if I was always thinking like that, but I know some people do, because I think that's sort of the examples that were sort of fed.
Yeah.
We have a policy in this household. We only fuck. Right. No. Yeah.
No friendship.
This feels like another, it's interesting that it's 20 somethings and LGBTQ plus communities. I don't know. This just seems like another example of like, younger people becoming more responsible with time, like then like previous generations it was like a lot of I think they had more affairs in like the previous generations. In the older days, the boomers had more affairs than like modern relationships. It just feels like
multiple secret families.
Mm-hmm. You know, people averaged 2.5 families to per household.
Yeah, because back then you couldn't text nobody and be like, yo, your husband cheating on you.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
exactly.
You had to catch him when they was in the crib and had to hope they wasn't on the phone, so you got the busy signal.
He just works a lot. Yeah.
Every weekend he drives up to, he drives two counties over for business.
You can't check. Yeah. It's only one car in the household.
Yeah. Turns out he was going up the street.
This feels undoubtedly like much healthier. Like you guys were saying, like a much healthier way to like build a relationship is like having different looks at it at different levels. Like, you know, like every relationship should evolve and,
Yeah, and not to say, like, you can't just start off hot and heavy and then your romance. Yeah, sure, absolutely. There is that. But there I think we that. Have this, I think we put out of our minds the possibility that you can evolve a relationship. Not to say that you can fuck your friends, and because you're like, well, we're friends, so that should be the lunch board to romance. No, but the idea
that's not
that
what we say, Miles?
No, absolutely not.
Damn.
But the idea that you can actually build on something and work, and it can, you know, evolve in that way.
Yeah.
Jack, with your wife, were y'all friends first, or were you just, you're like, I love this woman?
Yeah.
It definitely went through different stages, but like we never dated in college. I think there was always an acknowledged like spark there, but like we had other significant others in throughout college, so we were just like friends for a while, and then it was probably like 5-6 years of being friends before we eventually, you know. But I think it was different from like one of those things where it's like, well, I don't want to ruin the friendship. I think we both kind of knew if the situation was right, we were into each other.
Right, right, right.
But, you know,
but on some level, you developed a friendship.
Yeah.
Even despite like, maybe what you your ulterior motives.
We had a relationship even when we weren't like dating or like romantically seeing one another.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I will say that I think, and I haven't crunched the numbers on this because I lost my calculator, but I think that the numbers of failed relationships that started off as friendships that, or you were friends and then like you started to see them romantically and then you went for it, the number of failed relationships that start that way is probably just the same, if not slightly lower, than the number of failed relationships that start the traditional, and I'm putting that in quotation marks, way that we think of relationships starting. And right. I know there are horror stories out there of people who hooked up with their friends and they tried a relationship and it didn't work out. Of course there are. Like, yeah, if you look for A, you will find B. But I also know many fucking friends who started to date somebody who they were friends with for a long time, and they're like the happiest they've ever been in their entire lives right yeah, now. So right. It's like, you know, there is no, I say, you know, whatever feels right, go for it. But also maybe stop building bricks in front of the road you're driving on and take away the roadblocks that you give yourselves for some outdated notion that we subscribed to in 1942.
Right. And this isn't like to say that like this is the only way for someone to have a healthy relationship, but it is, I think it does challenge this idea that like we all have of like what it means to be friends. And a lot of times when you're friends with somebody and like maybe you take it there, you get romantic. Usually if your friendship's strong enough and it doesn't work out, you're cool enough to be like, you know you're what, fine. That didn't work. But we're still friends actually to this day. And that's cool because that's just we were exploring things within like a very good foundation of friendship.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think for somebody who was raised on 80s movies with boobies in them, sometimes I struggle with my idea of how courting works from time to time.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes you want to see some new boobs. You know, I get you, man. I see what you're saying.
I found you, Miss New Boobies.
I can't top that. We should go out on that. Jaquise, it's been a pleasure having you.
Woo, thank y'all so much. I'm sweating.
Where can people find you and follow you?
Ooh, once I get off this toilet, y'all can find me in these streets. And, of course, at Jaquise Neal. Remember what I told y'all earlier? If we get the boy to 10K, I'm about 1,800 on Twitter away. Instagram is a longer story. I'm about 5, 6,000 away from that. I'm not expecting that. But, you know, go ahead and do your thing, and I'll release these aired podcast, one of them with Jamie Loftus, a couple improv podcasts, a couple podcasts where we got high as hell and then did improv. We got some really fun ones with some really dope ass people. So check that out at Jaquise Neal on everything.
Yeah, yeah. And is there a tweet or some of the work of social media you've been enjoying?
Yes, yes. Well, Miles tried to ruin it by spoiling it. No, I'm joking. But this, I can't really, like, it's not a tweet as far as, like, this was funny, the wording. But there's this tweet from at fan1om underscore. It's a weird tweet. But basically, they went as moral support for their dad getting his first vaccine, and he's scared of needles. And the video is about a minute and, like, how long is it? It's about 2 minutes long, and it is the funniest shit that I've never seen somebody as scared of needles, but it's in such a charming way that he's scared of needles. He's like this 60, 70-year-old black man wearing camouflage, and he keeps calling the lady. Miss Lady, I don't know about this. How many deaths you done had with this vaccine, Miss Lady?
The way when she tries to inject him and his body like retreats from her to the point that he is taking a knee on the ground with his body contorted. Just she's like, I need you to sit in the chair.
And she was like, he was like, all right, go ahead and put it in the arm down here. She's like, no, I got to put it in the deltoid. He's like, the who? Oh my gosh. I'm going to pin it to my, if you want to see this tweet, I'm going to pin it to my profile so you can see it. It is a very funny 2 minutes. It is worth it. You will laugh. It's charming, but he got his vaccine. So it's a good ending all the way around. So, yeah, that's the funniest tweet I've seen in about the past 2-3 weeks.
Yeah. Miles, where can people find you? What's a tweet you've been enjoying?
Follow me Twitter, Instagram, at Miles of Gray. Also, 420dayfiance, twitch.tv/420dayfiance for that 90-day shit. Check that out there. A tweet I like. One is, it's just this picture of it's like of Sonic the Hedgehog, like jumping on a t-shirt. And it says, I'm not a player. I'm a gamer. Players get chicks. I get bullied at school. And I just felt so fucked up, but I just love a Sonic t-shirt. And then one more, in the wake of everything that happened in the Euro Cup final, Beth Louise at Beth X Louise XX tweeted, if Instagram can flag up anything COVID related and add swipe up links within seconds, why can't they remove racist accounts and delete racist comments?
Huh.
Yeah, that's something to think about.
Yeah. I like to tweet by speaking of that whole thing, just watching Bill Burr like kind of go through the World Cup final and when the Euro Cup final, when the shootout was going on, he said this is a terrible thing to do to people, which I was like, yeah, that's true.
It's fucking cruel. And that's whoever, what I always say.
Yeah.
It's a cruel outcome, yeah.
Whoever fucks this up should be immediately put into protective custody and relocated to a new country. And he also wrote that Jesus Christ, this is boring earlier. So real roller coaster. Tweet I've been enjoying, Cody Wimmer tweeted, airplane mode but for thoughts. I like that. That's what like podcasts are for me sometimes. And then at Kimmy Monte tweeted, hey, how's life? Me. And then a picture of a church that is called Jesus Christ the Same Yesterday, Today, and Forever. Which is an amazing name for a church and a great answer to that question.
Yeah.
You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song we think you might enjoy. Miles, what song are we sending them out on?
I've just been, you know, dancing to all kinds of music in my headphones, always trying to keep the mood light. I was just listening to some old Iranian Persian music from the 70s. We've done a track by Gugush before, but this artist is called Marjan, and this track is called Kavire Del, K-A-V-I-R-E-D-E-L, and it's based off a Turkish song, but this like 70s Persian pop shit gets me going. So I just love it, and I love the melodic scales that are used in that music, and her voice is super dope. So check this out. This will definitely get your toe tapping, and you'll feel some type of way to this. So this is Kavire Del by Marjan.
All right. Well, The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That is going to do it for us this morning. We are back this afternoon to tell you what's trending, and we will talk to y'all then. Bye.
Bye.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. This is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200 percenters. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community. Listen to Life as a Gringo on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi. I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast, Climbing in Heels, is back and better than ever. You might know me from The Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.